This episode of Market Foolery is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/fool and enter the promo code FOOL. It's Thursday, June 23rd. Welcome to Market Foolery. I'm Chris Hill. Joining me in studio today from Motley Fool Funds, Bill Barker. Happy Thursday.
Thank you.
Are you excited for the Brexit vote, which is going on right now as we speak?
The market's excited, isn't it?
The market does seem
excited. The market is celebrating. We're buy on the rumor here, and the rumor is that the Brexit vote will go down. The Bremain vote will win.
Yeah, Bremain is even worse than Brexit. So the voting is happening.
It's just sad when you're losing to Bremain.
Yeah, it kind of is. So the vote is happening in England right now. The polls close at 10 p.m., in England, so 5 p.m. Eastern time here in the States. And there is no exit polling, so there is no sense of how the vote is going. Maybe there's a sense of how turnout is, but there's no exit polling. And so the vote, the final results are expected to be announced Friday morning between 7 and 9 a.m. And again, that's in England, so that's the middle of the night here.
Hard for Americans to understand that somebody else's time would dictate. Isn't it?
I'm not going to name names, but I have actually talked to a couple of people who have taken that stance. Like,
how dare they?
Why are their polls open until 10 o'clock?
Why are they allowed to have a different time at all?
But to your point, that really is how the market is reacting right now in the States, that this is it's going to be status quo. And so the idea that there's going to be this great upheaval with the UK leaving the European Union, we're not worried about that.
Market likes status quo a lot of the time, much more than uncertainty. And the betting odds, as I see them online right now, are 83% chance of stay in and 16% of leave. So, you know, it's about a 5 out of 6 chance that the market is priced into the status quo remaining, and that is good enough.
Have you, I don't want to get into too many details because of, for regulatory reasons, but have there been conversations in the Fool Funds group regarding how you're going to invest differently if, in fact, the Brexit vote passes and the UK does end up leaving the European Union? Have those conversations taken place?
No. No, because it would be reacting sort of to a hypothetical. Of course, you can look at the odds and say, well, in the 1 in 6 chance that this happens, what should we do? And we're not a quick turnover type of shop. We don't trade a lot. So the companies that we own are likely to be, in our opinion, good ones to own for the next 5-10 years. Now, it's certainly the case that European stocks and British stocks in particular would be taking a hit, might take a big hit tomorrow. Maybe we should be dedicating a lot of time to, it's a fairly small amount of the investment that's in England anyway, but no, it's not something that has looked like it's enough of a worry to us, despite all the press that it gets everywhere else.
So the people who are already looking past this vote towards the possibility of similarly styled votes in France, in other countries in Europe, that's not even on your radar right now. That's not even a concern.
You know, the most proximate concern, I think, would be to take this, because the odds are similar, that the betting market odds. So it's nice to have places where betting on presidential elections is done so that you can get some sort of odds, and that is done in England.
It's probably fun to be a bookmaker in England, wouldn't you think?
I think so, yeah.
More fun than being a bookmaker here in the States.
Bets on all sorts of things, yeah. You know, what the name of the royal baby is going to be and all that. Anyway, the odds of Trump winning are basically about the same in the markets right now as the odds of England leaving, and I think it would be sort of similarly disruptive to the markets, either one of those things. So if those odds change, then you'll see a little bit of, you know, more volatility in our market, just as you've seen a lot of volatility in England. When the odds were closer, that Brexit would go through. Definitely the European markets in particular, and the U.S. markets to a lesser extent, did take a hit.
All right, let's get to some company news. Bed Bath & Beyond's first quarter was a miss. They missed on profit, on revenue, on same-store sales, and perhaps not surprisingly, shares of Bed Bath & Beyond hitting a five-year low this morning. What do you do here? I mean, because you know that there are investors out there saying, ooh, this is a value play.
That is the question. Is this a value trap or is there some value here? Bed Bath & Beyond, all right, basically subject to the same sort of retail pressures as many other companies, some of which we'll discuss in a minute, has not been able to grow at the rate at which it had prior to online retail becoming the force that it is. Nevertheless, Bed Bath & Beyond has continued to grow sales every year, and it's grown sales, but it hasn't grown profits, and it has not even really grown earnings per share very much, even though it's has aggressively bought back shares. As you mentioned, it's reaching some new lows, and it's been cut in half, so a lot of those shares were repurchased at prices significantly higher, basically double what the price is today. So you look at it at 8x earnings right now, and the earnings have been reasonably flat but reasonably okay, sort of $5 a share. And you say, well, there aren't that many companies trading in this market at a PE of 8 and don't seem to be in massive trouble. But I don't know that it's going to be a good investment unless it convinces people that there's a brighter future than a present.
This also seems like the type of buying opportunity, if you want to think of it that way, where you would have to have this stock on an unbelievably short leash. This, I think if you're looking at this and saying, well, it's on a valuation basis, it's really cheap. This, you know, from a price standpoint, it's at a five-year low. I think I can squeeze some value out of this. But it seems like, okay, if you're going to go ahead and do that, then you better be watching this stock every single day for the rest of 2016, waiting for whatever type of pop you're thinking of out of whatever your investing thesis is.
Maybe. I guess you can take the position that it just seems to be safer than a lot of other things simply because of the price, that the price is providing a bit of a net here. And if online and the various other, not all of the competitive pressure comes online, and they have their own online business, and you can go to Bed Bath & Beyond and see that they've got plenty of things for sale and they get online sales.
Right, because as we've said before, it's not just Bed and Bath. It's also Beyond.
It's really, you know, and with the Star Trek movie this summer, isn't that Beyond?
Yes.
I mean, that's got to help.
Is there a tie in there?
If there isn't, then somebody's dropped the ball. Because it's a natural.
God, how great would that be? If some marketing whiz over at Bed Bath & Beyond pitched that idea. No. It's the name of the Star Trek movie. And we get to have, for just $10 million up front, they'll write in a scene where Bed Bath & Beyond still exists in the 23rd century, the 24th century?
I don't think they write in a scene. I think it's one of those commercials where you've got the Star Trek characters and they happen to be at Bed Bath & Beyond for some. They've been transported back in time. It's a natural. I think it probably happens every couple shows that they end up shopping.
Look, you're gonna need towels in space,
and bedding,
and all the other things you
and
can
beyond.
Get. Before we move on, speaking of online competition, I want to say a word about Casper Mattress, which is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the savings directly to the consumer. Even you, Bill, even if you're in the market for a mattress, you can check it out because you know what they are over at Casper? They're obsessively engineering these mattresses.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's, you know,
the good kind of obsession, because there's treatment for certain kinds of obsession.
I like to think that this is the good kind of obsession. In the way that we've seen with other products out there. Here's what you can do.
Positive connotations. You're saying.
All the positive connotations. You can buy easily online and completely risk-free because they offer free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. So here, in all seriousness, here's what's great about a Casper mattress. You don't have to go lie down in a showroom. You can buy one of their mattresses. It gets delivered to your home. You get to test it out for a few months. And then if you don't like it, you send it back. You can get a twin mattress for $500 or a king-size mattress for $950. And because I know you're a little, I don't want to say you're cheap, but you're on the thrifty side, you can save an additional $50 towards a mattress purchase by going to casper.com/fool, enter the promo code FOOL. Terms and conditions apply. But then again, don't they always? let's talk Barnes & Noble. Help me understand this, because Barnes & Noble's fourth quarter.
Amazon.
No. Stick with me. Barnes & Noble's fourth quarter bears a striking resemblance to Bed Bath & Beyond's, all right? Same-store sales were down. Revenue came in lower than expected. They reported a loss for the quarter, so there's no profits to talk about. And yet, shares are up 9-10% this morning. Are expectations for Barnes & Noble just significantly lower than they are for someone like Bed Bath & Beyond?
So I'll explain this in two steps. One is that for reasons which right now, as I'm looking at the stock ticker, Barnes & Noble's going for $11.29 a share. At the close of the market on Tuesday, it was going for $11.23. Yesterday, Wednesday, it closed at $10.44. So people sold the stock off yesterday, apparently in fear of what today's report would bring. The report came in, and it is about what was expected on Tuesday. So I hope that helps clarify that this is not some new enthusiastic change of market sentiment for Barnes & Noble. It's really yesterday there was a big sell-off.
Yesterday the feeling was, oh my God, this is going to be horrific. And then today it's like, well, it was bad.
It's only as horrific as we thought on Tuesday. It wasn't some new level of nightmare, which has been, kind of a long 10-15 years for Barnes & Noble, and continues to be a tough environment. And another reason why it may be up a little bit today is they had an investor analyst meeting, and I caught a little bit of this online just toward the end because it was early, and I just caught the end of it. But they're talking about a new concept that they're rolling out in 2017, four locations starting, or maybe in October of this year, the first one, in Eastchester, New York. And there's going to be a little bit of an outside, and there's going to be some, alcohol served. So it's, doing a little bit of the same look at, can alcohol be something that we rely on to keep people around in the stores? Starbucks has looked at this, and, Chipotle, and it's a thing. Whole Foods.
Right, but Starbucks and Chipotle, the underlying business is food and beverage. This is a bookstore that's now apparently hired an executive to head their new restaurant group. So this is a bookstore that's saying, hey, you know what's going to really move books? Getting people drunk.
Well, you know what has worked better in the last 10 years is serving food than selling books in a bookstore. The restaurant groups as a whole have done great, and books have just gone away. And what's really gone away for Barnes & Noble is Nook, which I guess it was worth a shot, maybe. Apparently not in terms of the actual cash earned, but looking at what Kindle was doing and thinking we're going to be buried by this if we don't compete against it, they were both buried by it and competed against it, lost money, and now they're taking steps back.
All right, having just made fun of this idea, let me go to the other side. If this works, let's say that this works and these four new concepts actually, or these four new locations actually bear fruit for them.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly do you think we as investors will know this? What is the sign to look for? Is it, hey, we're rolling out eight more?
I don't know. I think that it is going to start as a small part, right, of a business. Now there are fewer locations for Barnes & Noble than there used to be. But, another place that they've got, and they could do this, is all the college stores, right? The college bookstores that are run by Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
You've seen those. You've been in those.
Sure.
And from what I understand, the kids in college still drink.
Right.
The legal ones. Not, I mean, the 21-year-olds.
Right.
The rest wait patiently.
The college students who are 18, 19, and 20, they wait their turn.
Right. Law-abiding citizens that are college-going youth is, sure. I assume. I haven't been on enough campuses to know.
Do you really think that if these four new locations for Barnes & Noble work out, that their next move is to open one on the college campus?
I think they're, you know, grasping at straws, right? I mean, and this might work out, and they've still got a business that exists and hasn't made money basically for the last 5 years, and they're looking at a business that typically does make money.
All right.
I think that's what they're doing.
You know what? The Barnes & Noble that's a couple of miles away from here.
Well, let me just add, you've been known to read.
Yes.
Do you ever do so without a drink in your hand?
You're
at home. Your book is open on your lap. What's the chance that you're drinking?
Let's see. I would say between reading at work
they and also serve coffee.
And reading at home, there's a 100% chance I'm drinking something when I'm reading.
Okay. So they're just getting around it.
So take heart, Barnes & Noble shareholders.
You've got one customer that's guaranteed to be partaking in your new plan.
Before we wrap up, I want to see if we can engage, because recently, our among our dozens of listeners in India, who stepped up wonderfully with some research, sharing their own experiences with online retail in India. And that worked out so well, I thought we'd like to appeal to our dozens of listeners in the Great White North. And I'm not referring to Jim Gillies. Jim, you can sit this one out. But
he wouldn't know. He's in Guelph.
He's in Guelph, which we've
talked
about.
We're not going to be talking about.
Right. We're not going to Guelph. But as we learned recently, you and I are each independently going with our families this summer to Montreal. And we need some advice. What are things to do in Montreal when you have human children? So email us.
And possibly a dog.
Okay. You're bringing a dog to Montreal?
Can I?
Does the dog have a passport?
No. Is that a problem?
Didn't Johnny Depp get into trouble like bringing his dogs to Australia because they like
it's Australia. It's not Canada. Canada loves dogs, unlike the Australians, where the wild dogs are out like eating people's babies. That's why they've got to stop them from coming in.
You think that was what was going on with Johnny Depp's dog?
I don't know.
I think you need to check with
the brave Canadians aren't going to inflict the same unreasonable restrictions on canine transport.
You know what? That's an issue.
Maybe
have to deal
this is what we need to find out.
Yeah, and by we, I mean you.
Yeah, you're not. You don't have a dog.
I don't have a dog, so I don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to be
otherwise
at the
largely considered a good father. But you know, the fact that you have never gotten a dog is not in that category.
It's not in the category.
Good dad points. Everything else, you're scoring well. But look, you can get the perfect score. There's still time.
I'll think that over.
Okay.
In the meantime, our email address is marketfoolery@fool.com for anyone who has tips on what to do in Montreal, which is a fabulous city, but I haven't been there with my kids before.
We'll take tips from Americans as well. If there are any that have ever been to Montreal.
marketfoolery@fool.com. You can read more from Bill Barker and his colleagues. Go to foolfunds.com and sign up for declarations. It's their free monthly newsletter. But before you do that, and you've been to Montreal, just drop us an email, marketfoolery@fool.com. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you.
As always, people on the program may have interest in the stocks they talk about, and the Motley Fool may have formal recommendations for or against. So don't buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear. That's going to do it for this edition of Market Foolery. The show is mixed by Dan Boyd. I'm Chris Hill. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Monday.